Well, good morning. It's good to see you all, and welcome to every new face we haven't seen here before. Hope the Lord will bless you this morning. So as Jochen was saying, we have the privilege this morning of accepting new members into our congregation, and these occasions are a very tremendous privilege for us, because the Lord is entrusting His precious children to us. And that's not something that we can take lightly. Jesus warns in Matthew 18, verse 6, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea." Now that was our Lord's words. And it was in context of causing a brother or a sister, you know, one of these little ones is a new believer, or perhaps just someone who has come into the faith and someone who's become part of the church, to be a stumbling block to such a person. Jesus says, it would be better for you to hang a heavy millstone around your neck and be thrown into the sea. Those are serious words. And the reason the judgment is so severe is because the price was so high. Christ died for each one of us. He shed His blood for each one of us. So, when we accept these new members this morning, there's a tremendous responsibility that the Lord is entrusting to us as a fellowship. Each one of us, each single individual involved in this fellowship, carries the burden of this responsibility. And so my intention this morning, as we prepare ourselves to bring them into our membership, is simply to remind you of your role in the work of making disciples. That is why we exist. Grace Fellowship has no other business but to make disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the one command Jesus gave to the disciples when He sent them out just before He left the earth. This commandment I leave with you, that as you go, make disciples of all the nations. Now, it's very important that you understand that this commandment is not to the pastors of the church. Sometimes we want to relegate those responsibilities to what we perceive as the professionals, you know? But there's no such thing in the church. There's no professional class and lay class. We are all, says Peter, ministers of the various grace that God gives in this church. So each one of you and each one of us stands under this mandate to make disciples. And that's something that we do together. So as we welcome these new members into our fellowship this morning, I want to take you, to prepare you for that, I want to take you to John 13, 34. I'm just going to read one verse this morning. One verse, because this verse lays out how we will protect these new members and not be a stumbling block to any of them. This is Jesus' command when He is preparing the last meal with the disciples and preparing to leave them on earth while He goes to heaven. He leaves them with this one command. And this is the command that will help us not be a stumbling block, but rather make disciples who are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. John 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Father, we want to ask you this morning, while this will be as practical as what I can be and as simple and straightforward, Lord, we pray and ask that you will work in our hearts, because ultimately this is a work that comes from the Holy Spirit. Lord, you promise that your mighty right arm will uphold us. You will cause us to walk in your statutes. And we will be careful to to be obedient to you. But this will be in response to the work that you are doing in us. And so, Lord, in faith, we pray this morning that as we go through this, you will work in us that conviction and that grace that we need to love one another, just as you have loved us. And this we ask now in your name. Amen. So, what I want to do this morning is give you 11 practical ways to obey this command. Very simple. Okay? Very simple. We've got a braai this morning afterwards, and we also want to invite the new members up this morning, and we'll pray for them. But before that, I want to just simply give you these 11 practical ways in which we can obey the command of Jesus Christ, who says, love one another just as I have loved you. Okay? So, here's number one. The first thing we must do in obedience to the Lord's command is joyfully serve the Lord. Joyfully serve the Lord. Jesus said that the greatest commandment is... Anyone want to take a shot? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Notice this about love. Love is an action motivated by a corresponding affection. Love is an action motivated by a corresponding affection. Okay? John 3:16. What does it say there? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Okay? Notice the two verbs there. God loved, God gave. What do we have in the middle? That. Right? In other words, it's saying whatever is following after the that is a consequence of what came before. In other words, God's love, the affection of his heart, so to speak, is what drove his giving of his son. Love is not love if it is a mere action. Think of your wife. Take her some flowers and just show no affection and see how she feels about that. Okay? Love is not love without affection. The only way you can joyfully serve the Lord is to love Him. Now, friends, we've spoken a lot about sanctification in the last couple of weeks in the Bible studies. We're going to spend some more time on it now in the weeks to come. But the only way to love God is to keep your affections clean and holy and separated from sin. That's what double-mindedness is. That's what James commands us to watch against. If you are double-minded, it means you are loving sin. You are loving something more than God. And then you cannot love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you will not serve Him joyfully. It will be a burden. It will be a burden to love your brothers and your sisters. It will be a burden sometimes to come to church. It will be a burden to go to Bible study. It will be a burden to do something for someone else in the church because your heart is taken up with selfish desires. Now that brings us to the second thing or principle, a practical way in which we can obey this command. The first is joyfully serve the Lord. The second is fervently pursue godliness together. Fervently pursue godliness together. This is not something that each one of us is out on our own business like a lone wolf trying to pursue godliness. This is something we do together as a fellowship. Paul says to Timothy, pursue godliness with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. This is a community project. We need each other. I need your eyes and your ears to watch over me. I need my wife who lives with me to watch over me. And she needs me and you guys need us just as we need you. When there's ungodliness in my life, may the Lord be gracious that you would speak to me so that I may repent. When there's ungodliness in your life, may the Lord be gracious that you would allow people to speak into your life so that we may pursue godliness together. That's how we will deliver our affections from this world and loving this world. So let me just give you an illustration of what I mean by fervently pursue. Okay? So we live down here in Fall Park, and yesterday about 10 o'clock max, my dog, it's a Staffy, started barking. Like he's just crazy, barking, barking, barking. So I go out, I look, and he's busy at the back of the shed there trying to, you know, dig up something, but he's very, very careful. Now, I've never seen him like, but I thought, okay, well, I know there's rats, so he's probably playing with a rat. And so I leave him. 2 hours later, 12 o'clock, preparing dinner for my sons, and because Mazal was in Pretoria, so I've got to prepare the dinner, and Elon walks out with a little cool drink to where Max is barking, and he says, Daddy, there's a snake! Like, oh, well, you know, okay. So, okay. Maybe he just saw the rat's snake. And so I walk out, and I hear this hissing sound. And so I start digging with Max, but all of a sudden you see this thing slithering, and Max is like this lion on the snake. But while he's you know, trying to dig this thing up, he's also very, like, careful. Never seen him like this. But this dog, now, if you know Staffies, you can be quite rough with them, and they don't feel anything, okay? So, I see the snake, and it's a rat, like a wrinkles. What's a wrinkles in English? Yeah, they spit. But it's a young thing. But I mean, it was about that big. But the point is, this dog is all over the snake. He's crazy. He wants to kill it, right? So I'm trying to hold back the dog, and I'm beating it with a stick, and I'm trying to hold the snake down with another stick. But this dog is just, it's fervently, you know, trying to kill this animal because of this reptile, because he knows this is dangerous. He's never been like that with anything else. And so, when you think about fervently pursuing godliness, fervently pursuing your sin, have that picture. This dog. So I pin the snake and I lift it up, right? Because I've got it pinned against the wall. And I want to lift it up. The moment I lift it up, and he sees the snake's tail, he just went. Bah! I couldn't stop him. I was like holding him. He was just pulling me up like that, and he bit the snake and he just ripped it in pieces. That's how we are to be with sin. There's no mercy with this thing because it's going to kill us. We are to be like that dog that pursues sin to the end. We are gentle with one another. I'm going to get to that, right? But not with sin. Sin is our mortal enemy. Fervently pursue godliness together. Third thing. Third practical way in which we can obey the command of the Lord Jesus to love one another as he loved us. Remember, these are things he did. He joyfully served the Lord. He fervently pursued godliness. Passionately pursue peace with one another. Passionately pursue peace with one another. Now, when I say this, it starts at home, husbands and wives, parents and children. Families in the churches with one another, friends with one another, strangers, maybe people in the church that you haven't really made friends with. Passionately pursue peace with one another. Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Be at peace. Titus 2:14. Paul says that Christ died for this purpose. To gather for himself a people who are zealous for good deeds. Zealous. In other words, we have to be zealous to pursue peace with one another. Peace is not an option. Peace is something that our hearts should crave. I don't want something to be between me and my brother or my sister. Jesus says in Matthew 5, if you go and take your offering, right? We say that's prayer. If you go and pray, and you remember that your brother has something against you, not you against your brother. What does Jesus say? Get up. Don't pray any further. Get up and go and be reconciled. That's how important it is. Before you pray, Jesus says, get up and go and be reconciled. Make peace. So joyfully serve the Lord, fervently pursue godliness, passionately pursue peace with one another. The fourth practical thing we can do to love one another, be zealously patient with one another. Be zealously patient with one another. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, 4, and 5, Paul says, love is patient. It's not easily provoked, and it doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. I remember when I was in Cape Town in the Bible school there, one of our lecturers wrote on the whiteboard the first day. He wrote these big words, because you live in the hostel with a bunch of people, and so, you know, things can get rough sometimes. And so he wrote these seven words should govern how you live. God is not done with me yet. Remember that when you deal with one another. God is not done with me yet. Be patient, brother. Be patient, sister, with one another. God is not done with us. Fifth, be fervently kind to one another. And I want to connect it to the sixth one. Be cheerfully, do good to one another. Now, Jerry Bridges was very helpful to me here. He says, kindness and goodness are tied up together, right? Kindness and goodness are tied up together. So, being fervently kind to one another and cheerfully do good to one another are tied up. He says that kindness involves an active desire to recognize and meet the needs of others. It's a sincere desire for the happiness of others. That's kindness. Now, the practice of kindness, he says, is called goodness. Goodness consists in meeting the ordinary needs of people. Now we're talking about practical things like food and clothing and transportation and education and healthcare and so on. So if you see someone in this fellowship lacking something that you can supply, be eager to do good and to one another and supply those needs. Fervently be kind to one another and cheerfully do good to one another. That's 6 and 7. That was 5 and 6. Number 7. Be single-mindedly faithful to one another. And I want to lay emphasis on this principle because I believe and feel that in our fellowship, there are some areas in which we are lacking in this very, I want to say blatantly, it's patent. You can see it. Okay? So be single-mindedly faithful to one another. Faithfulness, says Jerry Bridges again, is being absolutely honest, utterly dependable, and unswervingly loyal. Now apply that to us. We have a body life, and if we neglect meeting together, if we are indifferent towards one another, well, then we are not being faithful. We are not being faithful to this fellowship. I think of the Bible studies, for example. I think of the morning Bible hour. These are times where we have set out as a fellowship to meet together. I think of the church service itself. Every time you neglect meeting together, you are sending a message to the rest of the congregation. And when that becomes a habit, what do you think you're saying to us? Guys, if we want to make disciples and we want people to be faithful to Christ, we need to be faithful to one another. That's where it starts. We cannot be indifferent towards the body life of this fellowship. Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 45, as much as you have done it to the least of these, pointing to us, you've done it to me. If you've been indifferent to the least of these, you have been indifferent to me, says Jesus. So I want to implore you, be faithful. Be single-mindedly faithful to one another. Because that is how we, as a fellowship, will come together to make disciples. 8. Be gentle with one another. Be gentle. Galatians 6:1. I'm going to read to you just two verses here. Galatians 6:1. Paul says, those of you who are spiritual, if anyone is caught in a sin, brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. You know how we can often be quite hard when it comes to other people's sin and failures and struggles, but when it comes to our own, the shield is up. Paul says, be gentle with one another. That is, I believe, also Jerry Bridges who gives this definition. It's power under restraint or power under control. Okay? That's why he says, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. What is he saying? That I won't be tempted with pride, anger, selfishness, while I am out there trying to take out the splinter in my brother's eye, and there's a log in my own. Okay? Let us be gentle with one another. 2 Timothy 2:24, Paul says the same thing to Timothy. He says to Timothy that the Lord's slave, now that in this context is a shepherd, but it can apply to any one of us because we are all slaves of the Lord Jesus. The Lord's slave must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all. And in this context, he has to be able to teach, patient when wronged. Remember those words when your wife says something that wants to, you know, wants your heart to flare up, or when your husband does or doesn't do something when your heart wants to flare up, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. I think there's a good illustration of this with parents and children. How quickly we can be justified in our own hearts when the kids are doing something and I slap, right? Well, I'm the authority. They have to obey me. And so I come down hard on my kids and, you know, and they actually get scared. I've seen this with my boys. You know, that's not gentle. That's not correcting with gentleness. Correct. We need to correct each other. But be gentle. Be gentle with one another. Parents, be gentle with your children. Husbands, be gentle with your wives. And let's be gentle with one another. This is how we can pursue loving one another as Christ loved us. 9. Clothe yourself with humility toward one another. I want to take you to Mark 9, chapter 9, verse 33. Mark chapter 9. So the disciples and Jesus enter a house, and on the way, the disciples had this discussion, and Jesus picked up on it. And in verse 33, Mark says, they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he began to question him, what were you discussing on the way? But they didn't want to say anything, right? They kept silent. Because on the way, they had discussed with one another which of them was the greatest. Who will be the minister of finance? Who will be, you know, the minister of agriculture? Who will be the lieutenant and the right tenant? Who will have the places of honor in the kingdom? And how quickly that happens with us. Who's the most spiritual? Who knows the most? Who has the most knowledge and the most experience? And, you know, who has the many and the most gifts? And who's the most involved in church? And we can go on and on and on in the various ways who brings up their children in the godliest way? Who treats his wife better than the other one? I don't know. You know? Who preaches the best in the church? We can have so many silly ways in which we try to measure up against one another. And Jesus says, that's not the way it should be amongst you. Verse 35, sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. There's the principle. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. When I say that, I have this in mind. Make up your mind to whatever you possess, offer it in service to one another. Husband, if you are the one treating your wife the most godliest, oh, pray that God will make you an example for others to follow. But humbly say, Lord, can I offer this? If you are a parent to bring up your children in a godly way, offer it to the Lord as that it might be used as an example. But be servants of one another. Ten. Be eager to forgive each other. Be eager to forgive each other. I connected up again to Titus 2. I said to you just now, Jesus said that he died. He died to cleanse us and to gather for himself a people who are zealous for good deeds. Zealous. When you are offended, when you are in some sort of perhaps argument, what's the first thing that comes up in your heart? Is it not the desire to be vindicated? The desire to be proven right? Jesus says, be fervent to forgive one another. In other words, in that moment when you were offended, and perhaps rightly so, love covers a multitude of sins, right? Be zealous to cover whatever just happened. Be zealous to make peace. I know for myself that that desire to vindicate myself can lead me to be pretty, I don't want to say violent, that's the wrong word, but pretty adamant. And you will pursue the argument until you feel justified. I think all of us know what that feeling. You've got to stop that thing as quickly as possible. Nip it in the bud. Even if it means you have to stop the argument right there, turn around and go pray and take hold of your heart so that you can come back and ask forgiveness or make peace. But be fervent to forgive. And do not pursue that argument until you have been vindicated. Okay? Number 11, the fourth or the last one. Now obviously, this is just sort of a sample list of all the things we can do. But here's the last one. Fervently pursue the spiritual disciplines. Fervently pursue the spiritual disciplines. And this is something we are doing together, but this is something you particularly have to do on your own. Fervently pursue the spiritual disciplines of prayer and Bible intake. Christian, God has given you the word by which he feeds your spiritual life. Without the word, you are going to basically die unless the Lord disciplines you and brings you to life again, okay? The reason I say that is because 1 Peter chapter 1 says, like newborn babies, crave or long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation. If you neglect the word, you will not grow. And so, fervently pursue your spiritual discipline of Bible intake. 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul says that we are changed from glory to glory. That is, we are changed incrementally into the image of Christ as we do what? Take a stab, someone. 2 Corinthians 3:18. As we behold the glory of God. Where do we behold the glory of God? In the Word. Therefore, if you are not beholding, you will not change. James 1:21, he says, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Okay? There's umpteenth reason for us to say yes. I need to be in the Scriptures. I cannot neglect this. And so we've been encouraging one another to be on some sort of reading plan, because that's how we can encourage one another and say, brother, how's it going with your reading? Are you in the Word? Are you looking? Are you beholding? Make sure that you are. And then the second spiritual discipline is prayer. That I'm just picking these two from a list of things that are important, but prayer and Bible intake is the heart of it all. Okay? Prayer. Let me take you to, I'm going to take you to all five of these verses, and then I'll wrap up for us, just to motivate your commitment to prayer. Let's start at the back. 1 John 5:19. 1 John 5:19. Remember, love one another just as I have loved you. What is the one thing Jesus did the most, do you think? As was his habit, says Luke, he went into the garden to pray. John 17 is the high priestly prayer, and he's interceding for us. 1 John 5:19. Sorry, I'm in 2 Peter. Yeah. 1 John 5:19. Sorry, it's 16. 1 John 5, verse 16. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin, not leading to death. What is it to ask? To pray. If you see your brother committing a sin, not leading to death, James says, pray for him. And he has a promise. And God will for him give life. Do you love one another enough to pray for one another? James 5:13. That's just a couple of pages back. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, verse 16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Brother, have you been in some sort of struggle with sin and you've been fighting this thing alone? James says, go to someone that you can trust. Confess your sins so that they can pray for you. Pray for one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17. These are simple words. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Is a command. Pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18. These are short ones, they're all the same. Ephesians 6:18. This is, by the way, in the list of the armor of God, For some reason, people seem to cut it off at verse 17. After you've put on the helmet and the girded your feet with the shoes and put on the breastplate and the helmet and the sword and the shield and done all of that, people think you're finished. Verse 18 tops it all off, okay? If you don't do 18, none of the others will be useful at all. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So that's the fourth verse that speaks about praying for one another. Being, you know, in fact, I love what Paul says there. With all, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition. Alert for what? The context of this is the warfare we are in. You're not the only one engaged in this war. Your brothers and your sisters are all sometimes on the attack of Satan, other times under the attack of their own flesh. And Paul says, be on the alert with all perseverance for them. Pray for them, that they fall not into temptation. Last one, Philippians 4, verse 6. Sorry, I'm taking you forward now, but Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Fervently pursue the spiritual disciplines of prayer and Bible intake. So let me just summarize here by reading all 11 of them for us. This is practical ways in which we as a fellowship can pursue making disciples of one another. And I lay emphasis on that one principle of being faithful to the fellowship, because everything you do gives a message. Everything we do give a message. And when people are added to our number, they will learn from us. And so these 11 things are 11 ways in which we can love them and one another just as Christ loved us. Joyfully serve the Lord, fervently pursue godliness together, passionately pursue peace with one another, be zealously patient with one another, be fervently kind to one another, cheerfully do good to one another, be single-mindedly faithful to one another, be gentle with one another, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, and then the last two, be eager to forgive and fervently pursue the spiritual disciplines. Father, we thank you for the opportunity this morning that you have not only given us the great gift of salvation, but you are allowing us to share this with others in whom you have poured your love. Lord, I love those words. You have poured out your love into their hearts. And we can see that. We see that by the newness of life that pours out of their lives, Lord. And we want to share together with them in this joy of serving you. And Father, as we've gone through a list, and often these lists are difficult to remember, but we pray, and I pray, Lord, that you will be the one to work in us that practical wisdom to love one another just as you have loved us. You held nothing back. You regarded our interests as more important than your own. And Father, the word constantly says this, that you loved us, you sought us. And so I pray that we will do the one same for one another, that we will go out of our ways to seek one another, to make not just friends, Lord, but make family of one another. And I pray that you will work this in us, that you will work in us to will as well as to work according to your good pleasure. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Right, now before the worship team comes up, I'm going to call the new members to please come up. We're going to, just this morning, present you to the congregation, and we would like to pray for you. So, Lizelle and